I've already moved ahead in life. I hate the bells, but I was waiting for them and then realized it is not Wednesday.
Boy, don't you wish it was Wednesday, Doug Lace, the Quasimodo bells. Good morning, Basinonians. Ron Wolfley and Doug Franz. The Doug and Wolf Show, reporting for duty.
I didn't have a bad Monday to make me feel like it's time to hurry up through this week.
No.
But at the same time, when you just, you kind of sit there. I mean, the only negative thing about yesterday was how horrible my daughter played in the second half of her soccer game.
What do you mean?
Oh, she was awful.
Who, McKenna?
Oh, yeah, yeah. She was terrible.
Yeah. Why?
Well, I don't know.
Why
that's
would you say
problem.
That? Just I know. You didn't ask her. I mean, you're, what, did you get no sleep the night before? You didn't say anything to her?
No, we talked on the way home about, you know, things. You know, but she's playing in high school and I'm not her coach. So now I wait for her to ask me if, you know, does she want to talk about it? Here's what I would have done if I was in your situation, you know, whatever. But I wait. Now I'm just dad, so I don't pile on. When I was coach, it was nonstop. You know, it was piling on every
sideline.
I was told by her to stop.
I bet you were, Douglas.
The game on Saturday, her team won 1-0, and she came on. It was the first time in her life she ever came off the field with a tear in her eye. And I asked her what was wrong, and she said, "She said you're telling me things to do that's different than my coach." Which drove me crazy as a coach when parents would do that.
Yes.
And then we talked about the things I was telling her to do, and then that was a really difficult conversation because I'm not trying to be a jerk here, but what I'm telling her to do is right, and what her coach was telling her to do is not.
Interesting.
So it's hard, and I had to say, well, you got to do what your coach says.
Yes.
And
That's a conversation you've got to have with a coach.
Yeah, yeah. So so I just told her, well, do what your coach says, and then when you get a you know, if you would have worked harder in the summer, you'd be on varsity, and then you wouldn't have to listen to that.
Yeah, it's but so difficult as a parent, isn't it, to watch your kid go out there and actually perform, and if they're not doing it the way you want them to do it, it's very difficult to not say, wrong! At the top of your lungs,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
Watching your kid play flag football or something like that. Why aren't you running?
But I remember.
This is one of the things I despise.
I remember as a coach one time having a kid say something about how their parents love me, and I said, no, they don't. And she goes, what? What do you mean, no, they don't? And I said, I can tell by the way you play. Your parents don't support me because you're doing things I'm not telling you to do. And that means there's a parent in the room saying you should do it this way.
Yeah.
And then she didn't know what to say because she knew that was true.
Yeah. Yeah. Interesting. Yeah. I'm the guy that shows up at these things, right? And Vetter James, of course, out there, ladies and gentlemen, he's playing baseball, he's playing football, basketball. He plays all three of the sports. Absolutely loves it. Savannah Shea, of course, my daughter, she's got no interest in it whatsoever for the most part. She's a musician, and Vetter James is an athlete. Well, going to these games, this is anyone who's a parent going to watch your 8-year-old go out there and compete. This is on the edge of your seat stuff for the most part right here, right? And I refuse to be that guy who's going to stand up and yell something or say something or even react. Good or bad to whatever happens out of the field. I am not that guy. And
are you struggling to stay
I will tell you now, Basinonians, there's a point in time where I have actually said something like, run, just very quietly, and then looked at myself like, who are you? I don't even know you anymore, right?
Are we talking baseball?
Saying something. No, I'm talking all sports.
Okay.
You know, dribble, take it to the hoop. you can't live your kid's life, ladies and gentlemen, right?
Have you yelled at a ref
do
yet?
It. No, I will not do that. You're never going to ever. No, you know what? Strike that.
Yeah.
Strike that. I'm not going to yell at a ref or an official. I'm not going to do it. So help me, Lord. That's what I'm going to say. I haven't done it yet.
Oh, okay.
There's a lot of games left to be played, Lord willing. So, yeah, I'm not crazy about that. It just makes me feel so uncomfortable going there knowing I want to yell something out. It's not the fact that I do, because I don't, but just the fact that I want to. Like, what are you doing? Settle down.
Have you said anything when another parent yells the wrong thing?
there are. I have talked to him after.
Really? Really?
How about that?
Okay.
I have done that.
Okay.
Both coaches and parents after I've said something. Hey, listen, I just don't think that's great. I don't think that's the right thing to do.
Okay.
So I will speak up, right? It's kind of like the kid at the spelling bee, right? Have you seen the parents at the spelling bee? I get it. The whole idea that you're sitting on the edge of your seat and, oh, what if they get it wrong? Oh, they're going to look like they're stupid in front of everybody. Right? You don't want that for your kid. You don't want failure for your kid. And yet you make the kid feel like, yeah, loser! Because you're so wrapped up on it. You're sitting on the edge of their seat, and when they get it right, you slump back in your chair, and oh, she got it right. Give me a break. What kind of pressure are you putting on your child?
You almost fell out of your chair. I hear a little slump thing.
That was kind of me, though. That's what I'm talking about. I wanted to yell something out. Who are you? You'll shut your face and sit down if you know what's good for you. Boy, that was, I feel better now. That was like an unloading. That was a dump.
Go ahead, Malloy!
That was a psychological dump there, my brothers.
Paul on Paul's call introduced that Ed Malloy thing. And I feel terrible saying this. I feel like I'm a very critical person on referees and umpires, but
yeah.
I think Ed Malloy's a pretty good ref.
Yeah.
Am I the only one that thinks that?
I think so.
Okay, well, then that's on me. I accept that.
Psychological dump.
And now, it's time for your Arizona Sports Starting Five. You can't go to work without knowing these five huge stories. Here's Doug Franz and Ron Wolfley.
Good morning, Vince. Oh, wait, I got the wrong bank up.
Number five.
That's what we call it. That's what I'm talking to the 360 and not really myself. Number five this morning is, boy, this is kind of scary. Yeah. Granted, there's no control. Antonio Brown has no control over the situation. Only the Steelers control it. But Jerry Rice on 95.7 The Game in the Bay Area.
Do you get the sense that he would like to play for the 49ers?
Yeah. Yeah, he wants to come here really bad. He's talking about running the hill with me, doing all that, and just working out, you know, just picking my brain.
Antonio Brown wants the NFC West, and he doesn't want the Cardinals.
Anybody, if it was anybody but Jerry Rice, I'd be laughing right now. The fact that it is Jerry Rice and Antonio Brown has a relationship with him. No! Don't let that happen, please.
Don't worry. It's up to the Steelers. But that does give them a little bit of leverage because now...
Well, they want him gone.
You know the 49ers would be the team that would try to make it work.
Number four
this morning. This is kind of shocking. If you're a younger man, you'll remember there used to be a franchise called the Green Bay Packers that was good a while ago.
Right.
And back in 2014, they were really good.
2014.
Aaron Rodgers was hosting the New England Patriots and Tom Brady.
Rodgers.
Thanksgiving of 2014.
Yeah, okay.
It's the last time in Las Vegas the Patriots were ever an underdog. They're an underdog at Arrowhead Stadium. Now, granted, there's no real record. There's no such thing as a Vegas record. But think about all of this time where Vegas looked at the other team and said, you're not as good as the Patriots. And for the first time since Thanksgiving of 2014, the Patriots go into a game as an underdog.
That is stunning.
Number three.
You think he's right?
I think the NFL believes that he wants to play football. They believe that he likes baseball, but loves football. And he used this past year as a testing ground to see how he would do against top-rated competition.
I'm torn on this because I'm more of a baseball guy, and I don't want baseball to lose him. And I love the idea of saying the Heisman Trophy winner plays there, and you might even be able to argue the best quarterback in the Bay Area plays for the A's. I think that's funny. I hope that actually happens. But all signs are pointing to this, Kyler Murray going into the NFL, and that's great for the Arizona Cardinals because it creates more quarterback drama at the top of the draft.
At some point in time, 5'8 just does not cut it as quarterback in the National Football League.
Mm.
It doesn't.
thought the definition of a franchise quarterback is changing.
It's changed. Not that much.
I see. You're not ready? By the way, think about the great history of American athletes. We've never had an athlete drafted in the first round of the NFL draft and the Major League Baseball draft. As great as Dion was, Brian Jordan, and all these great players that were able to do both, Bo Jackson. Because he wasn't, nobody's ever been drafted in the first round of both drafts. Kyler Murray, of all people, could be the first one.
Wow.
Number two.
Number two, this rumor, this morning, there's a Suns trade rumor. Devin Booker is coming back. We'll get deeper into the trade rumor. And we've got some bad news for you. Remember that Suns 4-game winning streak they had?
Yeah.
That's the only time this year they've ever won a game after they won a game. They're 0-7 after a win other than the 4-game winning streak.
Can't wait to see D-Book and hopefully this new identity continue to blossom. Right, Devin?
They take on the Pacers tonight. You can hear it on ESPN 620 AM.
Number one.
And the number one thing you need to know about this morning, the Arizona Cardinals just did something that might have brought back David Johnson. We'll tell you more next on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.
I'll gather around the transistor, Basinonians. Ron Wolfley and Doug Franz, we have reported for duty at 617. The Doug and Wolf Show, Savages in the Morning, broadcasting high atop that bell tower that is the Auction Community Studios.
Still show planning, I admit it.
What do you mean?
Today is one of those days as a listener. I don't know if I'm supposed to say this, if the consultants are going to get all fired up about it. But our meeting today got pushed to tomorrow, so I can get away with more stuff.
Right.
But today is one of those days where we have a lot of stuff to talk about, but nothing is, wait, stop! And I have to tell you immediately, but there's just, I mean, I got two pages full of just headlines to get. Maybe that's what we do. We just do headlines today because there's so many things to get to. And one of the things that you're going to want to know about if you are a Cardinals fan is I'll be the first one to admit I was really not happy, even though I probably knew what was going to happen,
mm-hmm.
when the Browns won out in the battle for running backs coach, with Stump Mitchell already being David Johnson's really solid running backs coach his rookie season, and then Stump Mitchell saying, I want to go with Freddie Kitchens and the Cleveland Browns.
Yes.
I understood why, because he was already here as a Cardinals running backs coach, and obviously other people valued his services more than the Cardinals did, and he left and he went somewhere else, so therefore maybe you're not as inclined to want to come back, but I was still hoping Arizona sunshine wins. You know, it's just okay. Yeah. Arizona's just a better place to live, right, than Cleveland. And we lost out on that. And then you could argue that they lost nothing with the hiring of James Saxon.
Let me just say this, Basinonian. Stump Mitchell was my first. He was my first hire. Okay. That was the one that I wanted so badly. But this is so biased. It's such a personal relationship with Stump. I played with Stump Mitchell for years with the Cardinals back in St. Louis. And out here in Arizona as well. So, yes, I wanted, and yes, I do believe that I can step away and be objective and also say that Stump Mitchell did an unbelievable job developing David Johnson. And I think we'd all agree on that one right there. Having said that, knowing that for whatever reason, Stump Mitchell is not here, he got a better deal in Cleveland where they actually gave him a title.
Right.
That, I understand, you know what, Godspeed. That's the way that it works in the National Football League, and I wish him nothing but the best. And I mean that from the bottom of my bones. But this hire of James Saxon as the running back coach from Pittsburgh, ladies and gentlemen, this hire of James Saxon, this is the veritable kick save and a beauty. That's right. This is a beautiful, beautiful move by the organization to actually salvage the position and the coach, I might add. This guy has been in, he's had 18 years of coaching in the NFL. 15 Pro Bowl players. Did you hear that, ladies and gentlemen? 18 years and he's got 15 Pro Bowlers. That is stunning. This is a great hire right here. And you know what's going to be so fascinating about this? James Saxon, for the rest of his life, when he's done coaching, when it's all said and done, when he's long gone from the Arizona Cardinals and wherever he may go, when he's retired, I can tell you right now, the number one question is going to be, who was better? Lev Bell, David Johnson.
I like this tweet that's part of the article we have up at arizonasports.com. If you haven't seen it, to give it a you might want to read it, to give you a little bit of a rundown on James Saxon. And within that article...
Hey! Retweet this! Presented by Sanderson Ford.
There's a tweet from an NFL.com reporter embedded into the article. It's from Aditi Kinkabwala.
Boy, can you...
Was that pretty good?
Kinkabwala. Uh-huh. That was good right there. Kinkabwala.
She says, to recap, James Saxon helped expand Le'Veon Bell's game. He guided James Conner to a Pro Bowl year as arguably the team's most improved player. And under his guidance, Jalen Samuels, a kid who'd never had 19 carries at any level, went 19 carries, 142 yards versus the Patriots. Yep, let that guy go.
Yeah.
What
happened?
I like the sarcasm there, but it is when you look. I think a lot of you, when you hear he's a Steelers running backs coach, you'll say, okay, the Steelers know something about running the ball. But when you really look at how, other than what it did to the locker room, the frustration of the O-line, that kind of story, if you just look at production on the field, they lost Lev Bell and lost nothing. I mean, think. Just let that wash over you for a second. James Conner had that good of a year until he got hurt.
That's impossible, Douglas.
And I know it is impossible. And technically, you probably okay. It's a better game if you have Bell. But to think of that, whether it's fair or not, to give all the credit to the running backs coach, we know it's not.
Yeah.
But it certainly looks good.
Yes. This is what happened in Pittsburgh, Basinonians. That is the question that I have right now. What? How did this happen? How is James Saxon available? And out there, what happened? Did it get personal? Ladies and gentlemen, it does get personal from time to time. There's no doubt about it. Whether it's between the coaching staff and the front office, whether it's between coaches, whether it's coaches on the offensive side or defensive side, whatever it may be, whether it's the running back coach and the head coach, it does get personal from time to time. And that's what this reeks of.
Man, is it a great debate on if Mike Tomlin is doing a good job.
What do you mean?
There is nothing.
Most people would say he's done a great job.
There's nothing wrong with you in your life if you are the second best coach in a conference that has the greatest coach of all time in it.
Right.
Okay. So the biggest problem for this guy seems to be Bill Belichick and how many times the Steelers can't get over the Patriots hump. Yet at the same time, you live in a very weak division in which the Bengals and Browns are in it, and every 2 years the Ravens are okay. It's been a long time since the Ravens have really been a threat, yet you're not dominating like you should. And then you've got the Lev Bell issue. Then you've got now, you had the Martavis Bryant issue. Now you've got the Antonio Brown issue. You know, it just seems like there's always drama going on, yet he's on the outside appears to be the most drama-less coach of all time, yet there's so many things going on. So I don't know if that means it shows you how incredible he is that he keeps making the Steelers relevant with all this drama, or if he just hasn't been able to put it out and then you have to ask why not. But the question is, have the Steelers underachieved with all the talent that they have, or is it been amazing that he's been able to keep everything together for so long?
I really don't know the answer to that, but it's just amazing that James Saxon was out there to begin with and that he is now joining the Arizona Cardinals as the running back coach. What kind of impact is this going to have on David Johnson? Where, again, James Saxon, when it's all said and done, the number one question is going to be, who was better? Lev Bell, David Johnson. Who was better? I don't know. If I'm David Johnson right now, if I'm dirty, this is going to get David Johnson's attention, in my opinion. And not only that, what about Sean Kugler, the new offensive coach, right?
Yeah.
The new offensive line coach for the Arizona Cardinals.
Two experienced, knowledgeable guys together.
Two guys, but I don't think they actually work together.
Right.
I don't think they work together in Pittsburgh, but they come from the same system.
Yeah.
They come from Mike Tomlin's staff. Sean Kugler, look, the offensive line coach and the running back coach, they have to work in unison. How are we going to block this play? They have to be on the same page. How are we going to protect in this protection? How are we going to do it? A lot of the times, that's what an offensive coordinator will do. He'll say, you guys work it out. On the tactical level, you work it out between the running back coach and the offensive line coach. We used to have huge battles between Hank Coleman, the running back coach for the Cardinals here, and Tom Bresnahan, the offensive coordinator of the K-Gun, who was the offensive line coach here under Gene Stallings. Huge battles greasing it up on how we were going to protect and how we were going to block running plays. I would imagine they're going to work closely together on this thing as well, Sean Kugler and James Saxon. And they come from the same tree, so to speak. It's going to be interesting.
I don't like the staff enough to try to sell it to you as a fan. Hey, this look, but it's starting to come together, you know?
This is a great hire.
It's not terrible.
My brother is blown away by this hire.
Wow, that's pretty cool to have a Steelers insider looking at both of those two hires and saying the Cardinals nailed it. I said Suns because Devin Booker's on the mind. He's supposed to be back tonight for the Suns taking on the Indiana Pacers, yet there's starting to be an identity made defensively without Devin Booker. I'm not actually saying, is Devin Booker ready to come back and do something? But how does he fit? That's next on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.
Doug Franz.
We got to stay focused here, you know?
Four-time Pro Bowler and former Cards fullback Ron Wolfley.
The more you get to know me, the more you get to love me.
Doug and Wolf, 98.7 FM, Arizona's Sports Station.
Thanks for getting up this morning. It's Doug and Wolf on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.
Why the ha?
That's code for I forgot to turn my mic on. Sorry, I only hit one of the buttons.
I just nailed the post. So innate.
This is becoming an epidemic on this show. And it counts on this show when it doesn't happen in the actual auction community studio.
I see.
Okay. But, I mean, I'm holding a sheet of paper in my hand right here that has a ton of stuff on it. Dallas trade rumors with Dennis Smith, the James Saxon signing, first time in the history of Duke basketball a freshman scored 35 points, the Jets CEO claiming that Matt Rhule did not be stripped of any ideas or power to hire assistant coaches on his own. Jerry Rice says Antonio Brown wants to be a 49er. LaFleur, after searching forever, gets Nathaniel Hackett as his OC. I don't feel bad that the OC hasn't been filled for the Arizona Cardinals when that's what's out there. An amazing stat on the Patriots. Harden 57. I got more on this sheet, okay? And out of all these things I want to get to today, as I walk back into the auction community studios, because Maloney, if you're listening to the show, Maloney's completely stressed out.
Yeah.
There's so many little things to get to today.
Really?
Maloney's stressed out.
Oh, okay.
So I come back out of the auction community control room. I don't know if we call the control room the HLO
command
room.
And control.
So I go out of command and control in honor of HLO, and I come back into the auction community studios, and what do I hear? Ron Wolfley leading a discussion with four people on aliens.
Yeah.
Like, we got all this stuff to get to.
I don't think I can get hired very fast. My suspicion is there are. I mean, there's...
there's Mike Leach joining us earlier this week. And yet you are in you can't get away without an alien conversation.
Like, the people out there, they were asking me about it, and, you know, they brought up Bigfoot, and do you believe in Bigfoot? And I said, listen, I'm not going to believe in Bigfoot until I actually see Bigfoot or I'm shown indisputable evidence that Bigfoot does, in fact, exist, okay? But I will say this. He already did. His name was Gigantopithecus. Google it, my young grugs. Is it possible, is it feasible that somehow, some way, an intelligent being hid himself and has hid himself from mankind over the years? Still discovering species now.
No,
in the ocean that we never knew existed.
Okay, in the ocean, but there's no Bigfoot of the ocean.
I'm just saying, I don't believe in him, but it's plausible because he already exists.
But that's the problem.
And the interns out there don't believe.
That's the problem with the life off this planet. How is it?
People are so willing to believe in aliens, but they're not willing to believe that Bigfoot already walked the earth and may still be walking the earth. Come on, please.
He's not walking
the
earth.
Give me a break.
We would have found his bones by now.
Are you weighing in on this?
So you said you don't believe in Bigfoot, but you claim he existed.
He did exist. Yeah,
so how do you not believe in it?
Well, because he's been extinct for 60,000 years. So, you know, that's the reason why it's far-fetched. It's ridiculous. But he did actually walk the earth. Google it. Gigantopithecus.
These are Wikipedia pages we should all believe in.
Nine-foot-tall ape that basically walked the earth. 9 feet tall. A massive, massive ape that was incredibly intelligent, they suspect. Well, that's all I'm saying. So what's more plausible? Something you've never, ever seen in aliens. Have you seen an alien? Ask yourself that right now, wherever you may be. Have you seen an alien?
Okay, I have not seen an alien.
Right. Okay. How do you know they exist then? Well, just because of the numbers that are out there. It's just this massive vacuum space wolf. Are you kidding me? You're telling me we're the only ones? Well, maybe. You got to be kidding me.
Are you angry about this?
I'm not angry about it, but the logic, people, you're not going to believe in something that was, that actually did exist? And maybe... This is like, you know, I get hit with this, ladies and gentlemen, all the time that I sidetrack the show, that somehow I derail the show. You've got to be kidding me.
I don't consider it me derailing the show when I've got things to do, and you're arguing with these people out in the control, out in the other room about aliens.
Look, when I see a UFO land and little green men get out of it, I'll say, you know, I was wrong. Wow, there they are. Go figure. I was wrong. But right now, from where I'm sitting, what's more plausible? That something that did exist somehow still walks the earth? And something we have never seen? Oh, yeah, that's real. Logically, what's more plausible? That's all I'm saying. Please.
So you are angry?
No.
Oh, okay. So tonight, the Suns are in action. They take on the Indiana Pacers. And tip-off is early because, as you can imagine, it's a road game. So you'll be able to hear the game on ESPN 620 AM with Alan Tim on the play-by-play call. Suns are, this is scary, they had a four-game winning streak. So obviously, after the first win of that four-game winning streak, they won three more games in a row.
Yeah.
They're 0-7 on all other situations. 3-7 total this year after a win. So every time they've gotten a win, especially this is a nice win against the Nuggets, we all try to get excited because we're a positive thinking people. We try to get excited. Other than the four-game winning streak, they are 0-7 after they win a game, and it kind of scares you because it really hits you in the face of how few times they've actually won a game. But now it becomes, okay, what are you going to do with this one? Because DeAndre Ayton had his best game as a member of the Phoenix Suns. And I mean more mental engagement. He's had games where he had some better numbers in different categories, but mental engagement throughout the game was absolutely fantastic. His actual defensive intensity was fantastic. Mm-hmm. And you could argue that for everybody. Oubre has been a great trade. And now, okay, drop Devin Booker into this. Because I don't think Devin Booker is part of the problem when it comes to the team. And you might say, well, of course he's not. But I do have a problem with the way a lot of the other four guys kind of stare. It seems to me a lot of guys are standing and staring. And when you stand and stare on offense because you're waiting for D-Book to do something, the human tendency is to do the same thing on defense then. You end up standing and staring on defense because if you're not moving on one end, you're not really engaged in the game and you don't move on the other. So I don't know if anybody else feels this way, but when you're watching the team lately without Devin Booker, they seem to know we don't have our security blanket. We've got to do more.
Yeah.
And then when they get Devin Booker, they actually get worse around him. So it's not like it's the dumb phrase, I think the Suns are a better team without Devin Booker. No, it's the Suns stand around with Devin Booker, and the other guys aren't doing their roles as well as they need to
be. Yeah, you know what I think? I think they realize they don't have Devin Booker, and if they don't want to get embarrassed so much of the time, now all of a sudden the desperation is there.
Do the same thing with him.
Is there. So try to bring that kind of desperation. We see it, and it's one of the reasons why I think we see them play their best on the defense. offensive end of the floor when D-Book isn't in the lineup. Not because Devin Booker is a huge liability on the defensive end of the floor, ladies and gentlemen. No, I just think it's the desperation comes out.
Absolutely.
They realize their back is against the wall, and if they don't want to get embarrassed, they better play some defense. That's where they can actually make some hay. They had 11 steals and 9 blocks against the Nuggets, the best team in the Western Conference. Are you kidding me? That's the way they've got to play all the time. Let's see. I'm so interested to see if they can carry that over against the Pacers tonight.
Going to be a big matchup for DeAndre Ayton because their centers, Turner, possibly if you want to consider Sabonis somewhat of a center, they don't have two guys that are just amazingly outstanding underneath, but they're really smart. Really, really smart. So, so, and their ability to run the pick and roll well, Ayton, how are you going to handle it? This is your next step. Let's go. Let's bring it like you did in the last game. Have you subscribed to the Doug and Wolf podcast? Subscribe right now on your iPhone or Android, and you'll never miss any of the show. It's the Doug and Wolf podcast. It's brought to you this week by Kinetico. Coming up next, he is entering the draft. So how does Kyler Murray help the Cardinals? That's next on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station. On our part, we want to tell you about it right now. Bruce Arians, head coach, Tampa Bay Buccaneers, scheduled to come on with us in 15 minutes, 7 o'clock this morning. However, when we gave him the time, we thought he was in Tampa.
Yeah.
So we told him 9 o'clock, and we thought we did the math for him, 9 o'clock in Tampa, 7 o'clock for us.
Yeah.
So he said, yeah, great, sure. I can do 9.
Yeah.
Not realizing that he had already come back from Tampa for a little bit of time here in Arizona.
He's here in the basin.
So therefore, 9 o'clock to him meant 9 o'clock to us.
Right.
And we had no idea. So we screwed that up. So if you're getting ready, if you're excited to hear BA, listen, so are we. But Bruce Arians, head coach, Tampa Bay Buccaneers, is going to join us at 9 o'clock this morning. And all day yesterday we were telling you, hey, BA is going to join us at 7, and that was the plan. And we just butchered the math for Bruce Arians or never bothered to ask, where are you?
Yep.
Just assumed he was in Tampa. So you know what happens when we assume and we wear it.
BA back in the basin. Let it.
Yeah, so that's nice that he still considers this home. But
still
it brings up
talk to him at 9. That's great.
Yeah, so we're excited to talk to Bruce Arians. That's coming up at 9 o'clock. If you didn't know about that, see if you can arrange your schedule. If this is the time that you normally listen, then try to figure out a way to listen at 9. If you're already at work when you're at 9, it might be easier for you to listen online at arizonasports.com. And if you haven't downloaded the app, you can do that as well, or grab the podcast a little bit later. Kyler Murray, number one pick in the NFL draft. A lot of people are saying, no way. Some people are saying, wait a minute, the world has changed. This is Tim Hasselbeck, ESPN quarterback guru.
Quarterbacks, people have always said, hey, quarterbacks come in all different shapes and sizes. And while that was somewhat true, I think it's starting to become really true.
Is it true?
I mean, the definition of a franchise quarterback has changed, right?
How many Russell Wilsons, Drew Brees, and Baker Mayfields can you have before you say Kyler Murray isn't that abnormal?
Yeah, I thought Drew Brees was a cat all unto his own, ladies and gentlemen. He is somebody that I believe, honestly, there's nobody else like him. A pure passer. Russell Wilson is a guy, well, he's so mobile, right? He uses his legs so much of the time. Get him outside the pocket. He's the most dangerous outside of the pocket, where Drew Brees is dangerous, more dangerous in the pocket than he is outside of the pocket. You can't say that about Russell Wilson. Even though Russell Wilson throws the ball just fine from the pocket, he is 10 times more dangerous outside of the pocket.
Yesterday was the day in which it is the deadline to declare for the NFL draft. What is weird is there's another deadline, Thursday. Thursday is the deadline to change your mind if you've declared for the NFL draft. Now, you have to keep in mind for baseball, none of this quote-unquote affects the baseball contract. He's allowed to at any moment decide, never mind, I'm going to play baseball. It doesn't affect baseball. But what is a major focus is the A's report to Mesa before the combine. It really makes no sense to go to the combine and stop preparing for the combine 2 weeks before the combine just to get in baseball work and then leave baseball and go to the combine.
Yeah.
So therefore, he's going to be in a sense, getting this deal done before pitchers and catchers report and going with Oakland, or he's going to say, this most of this year's off, and I'll wait till the NFL draft, look at my draft status, and then make a decision of whether or not I want to go.
What do you think he's trying to do? What do you think Kyler Murray is trying to gain here?
I want to be fair to anyone listening. I am not a Scott Boras fan.
No.
Okay, at all. And I understand a lot of people respect him greatly because they say he's all about his client. I don't think he's all about his client. I think that sometimes he advises clients to do what's best for them to make a lot of money. And if that's what the client wants, that's different.
You think he's all about that base?
Yeah, but okay. I really believe that there are people that just, there are players in the world that would do better with having more of a foundation and stability. And he doesn't care about your foundation and stability.
No.
He knows how to market you to get you worth the most money.
Yeah, he's all about the base.
Yeah, and I just disagree with that. I wouldn't want my kid, which we never have to worry about, being a professional athlete and choosing Scott Boras. So I wanted to be fair and let you know that that's the frame of reference I come from. But having said that, I honestly believe in this sense, it's exactly what Adam Schefter says.
I think the NFL believes that he wants to play football. They believe that he likes baseball, but loves football. And he used this past year as a testing ground to see how he would do against top-rated competition.
So I think what he's doing is he's telling the world, you have to pay me enough so I don't love football as much as I love football.
It's so fishy to me. It's just so fishy. It really is, because coming into this season, again, and I've said this over and over and over, but it's true. Kyler Murray was going to play baseball, and everyone knew Kyler Murray was going to play baseball. Now, all of a sudden, the narrative has been, he loves football. Doesn't it seem convenient for him to love football suddenly more than baseball? This is all about getting a major league contract and additional funds from the Oakland A's. That's what it is.
If you were a Steve Keim or anybody possibly trading up to number one with the Arizona Cardinals, would this point bother you that Todd McShay makes?
If there's any kind of failure in the first year or two, it would be very easy for him to change his mind and go to Major League Baseball. And that's something you have to factor in. It really is, because you know, if it's not working after year one, are you going to lose out on a first-round pick? And then we're talking, you know, if it's somewhere in the middle of the first round, $10 to $16 million of guaranteed money that you're giving this guy. So it's going to be interesting to see how all this plays out.
Yeah, it is going to be interesting to see how it plays out. Doug Flutie is maybe the only guy that actually compares to Kyler Murray, right? Doug Flutie was very, very mobile quarterback, run all over the place. I played against Doug Flutie 4 years in a row in college when he was at Boston College. Never beat us, by the way, Basin. He's never beat us, for the record. And every time I see Doug Flutie, you're 0-4, Doug. He's pretty good about it. He's a good sport. But having said that, he's the only guy that comps out to Kyler Murray. He's that small. He's 5'8". As a matter of fact, I think Doug Flutie could probably eat peanuts off Kyler Murray's head. That's how small he is. I would be terrified if I'm going to take a first-round pick and draft Kyler Murray when I know that he's a great baseball player, and for the most part, until his Heisman campaign, he wanted to play baseball. Now, all of a sudden, he loves it. It's his sport. He loves it more than anything else. Man, would I be leery of that if I were a general manager.
And then the reason why this is a Cardinals topic is you're hoping somebody, especially after the combine, goes Mitchell Trubisky on him, falls in love with him so much that they've got to get ahead of whoever else could be trading, because the spots 2, 3, and 4 in the draft, and probably 5, aren't spots where those teams need quarterbacks. So they're also going to be listening to offers. But the problem is, if you trade up to number 3, what happens if somebody trades up in front of you to number 2. Mm-hmm. The only way to be guaranteed is to talk to Steve Keim, that you're going to get Kyler Murray, that you're going to get Haskins, you're going to get whoever you want. So if you're a Cardinals fan, you need this to be a big deal. You need this to have as many quarterbacks as possible so somebody says, I've got to go up and get my guy.
He struggles in terms of the physicality of it. He doesn't like getting hit. He's always sliding and running out of bounds, and that's, you know, it'll help him in the NFL. It'll help him stay healthy, hopefully. But I also think he's electrifying. I think he's the most special athlete at the quarterback position that I've seen, at least since Mike Vick.
Yeah, he's 5'8". That's what I'm told. He's over 5'8", but barely over 5'8". Baker Mayfield, a lot of people compare him to Baker Mayfield. Baker Mayfield is over 6 feet tall.
What's funny about Kyler Murray is somehow a baseball helmet changes things. He's listed in the Oklahoma football program at 5'9".
Yeah.
He's listed in the baseball Oklahoma program at 5'10". Same guy. Ticket Window Tuesday is coming up in a little less than an hour, about 30 minutes. It's presented by Arizona Central Credit Union. We're giving you the chance to win a pair of two-day general admission tickets to the Innings Festival, where you can see Eddie Vedder at Tempe Beach Park, among many others. It's up March 2nd. It's March 3rd. Just listen at 7:15, 10:15, 12:15, and 4:15 for your chance to be a winner. Coming up next, the Cardinals have reportedly found their running backs coach. Now, how does all this offensive coaching staff fit with the Cliff Kingsbury system? That's next on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.